And here we're looking at time. The first two parts, we dealt with the fact that God created it, He made it, He owns it. Part two, we looked at the fact that God is going to hold us accountable for that which He gives us. One of the things He gives us is time. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come before You, and we ask that You, Lord, would be present here this morning. Lord, I pray for Your anointing as I come to preach Your word, that I would be speaking Your truth out of Your leading and Your empowerment and out of the infilling of Your Holy Spirit. I pray that Your people here would be encouraged and blessed. And Lord, that everyone here today would have somehow met with You. Lord, we pray that You would help us to better understand stewardship and what it is You would have us do and how it is You would have us to do it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Time. How much time do you have? None of us really know, do we? I could drop off at any moment. Sometimes some people might wish that I did, if I really ticked them off. But most of us, we just don't know. Do we have another day? Do we have another year? Do we have another 10 years? 100? I don't know. I'm doubting the 100 in my own case. But I have no idea how much time I have. God doesn't tell us ahead of time, but He does tell us that we're supposed to do something with the time that we do have. I'm going to read a passage. I'm going to be reading several passages again. And you can look up on the screen and cheat and read that. Or if you got your own Bible, you can jump along with me. We're going to go to the Shema. Some of you might be familiar with that. It's actually in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 there. And it says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after you may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life." Okay? That's the prelude into what we're talking about here. God is telling us this. I want you to follow these rules. Do this so that you might enjoy long life. It says, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." When were the people supposed to be giving attention to God and His commands? According to this, what I can figure out is every moment, when they're awake and even when they're asleep, they should have it written on the door frames of their homes. Tie it on their wrist. When they sit with their children, they're to impress it upon them. Not just offer it up and say, "Here, if you like this, take some." But impresseth upon them says a little bit more than that, doesn't it? It says, if I'm going to press it upon you, I'm going to make you take it. I'm going to present it in such a way that you do take it. This is what we're supposed to do with our time, so that we might have more time with the Lord. Is we're supposed to make Him our focus. He is to be the focus all the time. Not just from 10:45 till 12 or 12:15 or whenever pastor happens to run out of steam and shut up. He is always supposed to be our focus. Moving on to Ecclesiastes. Now here's a passage that many of you know and many people outside of Christianity know. In chapter 3, there's even a few songs that have been written that include some of these verses. And it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What does a worker gain from his soil, from his toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. What is it to do good? To love one another? To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Yes? Okay. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere Him. We're to give God our attention so that we have His blessing and that we might share in it and that we can revere Him. He wants to spend time with us. He created us for that very purpose in the garden. And relationships require an investment of time. If you want to get to know me, you really can't just walk up and say, hey, my name is John. What's your name? And I say, I'm Bruce. Okay, great, I know you. And off you go, because you really wouldn't know me. And depending upon my attitude that day, whether I was in a lot of pain or feeling good, or whether somebody had been mean to me and now I was being pouty, you know, you might think that I'm a great guy or a lousy guy or whatever. You really wouldn't know. But you wouldn't know what was happening. Why? Because we hadn't spent the time. God wants us to spend that time with Him. There's a time to do all these things, and we're to do them with Him. In Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12, it says, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap the fruit of unfailing love, and break up your unplowed ground, for it is time to seek the Lord until He comes and showers righteousness on you. It is time to seek the Lord. What time is it? Why, it's time to seek the Lord. Okay, my watch is over here, but it's time to seek the Lord. No, it's not. It's not Sunday. It's not Sunday morning. It's Sunday afternoon. It's time for me to go relax and watch football. Okay, maybe I won't relax. I might get a little wound up in the football. No, it's time to seek the Lord. The Gospel of John, Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman. And he says this to her. He says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper worships, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. So the time has come for us to worship in spirit and truth. So we're to seek God, we're to worship Him. And the time for this is now. The time has come. It's not we're going to do it later. It's not we did it yesterday. Now. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 and 25, it says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." He's telling us to keep in step with the Spirit. How do you keep in step with somebody? You are with them. And staying in step is keeping in time, timing, all this. Staying in step, we're supposed to have the same timing. We're supposed to be doing things in the same way at the same time together is keeping in step. We're to keep in step with the Spirit. When? Always. This is the way we're to live our life. As we go through life, we're supposed to be in step with the Spirit. God doesn't want us to put Him in a box or in a corner in the closet and say, "I'll have visitation with you on Sunday. And I might come visit you on Wednesday if I can make it for Bible study. Or, you know, I just might turn on the radio and sing a praise song on KTIS if I happen to have that the station on. Or maybe I'll hear... I'll have KKMS on and listen to somebody preach a message for 10 minutes while I'm driving from one place to another. Those are good things, all of them. But God doesn't want to be regulated to just those. He wants to be part of every aspect of life, in step. But He wants us to be in step with Him. He's not seeking to become in step with us. It's very important we understand the distinction here and the difference. We are to regulate our lives to Him and His Spirit. He doesn't regulate the Almighty to the created. Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5, both of them in the first verses, impress upon us the need to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. To be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So our lifestyle is that to be an imitator of God Himself. How are we to spend our time? By imitating God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And in verse 23 through 25, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism." supposed to understand that we don't work for ourselves. We don't work for somebody else. We're working for God. We're stewards. That means we're placeholders. We're there to take care of somebody else's property. It's not ours. It's His. The fact of the matter is that we ourselves are not our own, but we're His creation. And not only that, but He purchased us by dying on the cross and being that perfect sacrifice. So He owns us 2-3 times over. We are to do everything as unto the Lord. It's really hard to swear for God or to commit adultery for God and really have it be really for God. It's like, no, can't do it because it's outside of His will. It's not His thing. We can't go and lie. I'm lying for God. Where does God tell us to lie? I believe He tells us specifically not to lie. This is the way we're to live our life. Our time is not our own, it's His. And the way we are to live is if it is His, and give Him the primacy in every aspect of our life every day. Now, does that mean I don't go to work, but I'm supposed to stay home and read my Bible? No, it means I'm supposed to go to work. But when I'm at work, I'm supposed to be, instead of just, I'm working for this boss that isn't very nice to me, and I don't like him, so I got a bad attitude. I'm like, no, I'm not working for that guy. I'm working for God, and what I'm doing reflects back on Him. And I'm going to do it for Him. So I do the best I can. And maybe much better than what I thought I was capable of. When I go and relax, have a time of relaxation, I invite the Lord to be with me. And just be quiet in His presence. And let Him revive me and restore my soul. That's what He's asking us to do. And He's telling us to do this not for His benefit, but for our benefit. Because if we live our life for Him in every aspect, then we will indeed lay up treasures in heaven. We will indeed reap best blessings here on this earth. Now, He absolutely does not promise us that we're not going to have trials and tribulations here on this earth if we follow His will. He guarantees us that we will go through those things, but He guarantees us that He will be with us as we go through them. Don't begrudge God your time. Many of us do. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to study the Word. I don't have time to do something which God has impressed upon my spirit. You ever have the Holy Spirit say, I want you to go do something, say, Lord, I don't have time for that right now. I'm the only one that's going to needs to raise their hand here because I can be guilty for all of us. When I do listen to the Lord when He tells me those things, there's always blessing. When I don't, I always feel bad. So why don't I? Because I'm not a very good steward. Sometimes I'm very selfish. And I want to do things my way.
But what I found is that when I do things God's way, do it for Him, things are better. And He's there with me. And ultimately, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to get to the end and say, well, you know, okay, we're going to let you in, but boy, you know, you could have done better. Ouch. That is not what I want to hear. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are the God who loves us so much that You want to spend all of eternity with us, and that You have invited us to share eternity with You. Lord, help us to give You our time to worship, to study, to prayer, to serve, to enter into really real relationship with You, where You are constantly with us, and that it is Your steps that are guiding us each and every way day, Lord. That we be in step with You and Your Holy Spirit. And might every action that we do be as unto You. And Lord, might we continually have Your praises on our lips, and might we present them in such a way that we impress them upon our children and our friends and our neighbors, so that they too might have that relationship of love. Lord, might we be good stewards of our time. Might we do that which You direct us to do, when You direct us to do it, for Your glory and for the honor of Your namesake. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.